very sorry. So a brand new baby who gets herpes, the vast majority of times has nothing to do with circumcision, certainly in the girls, and even in the boys, most of them don't have mitzitza bepeh. How many of those 144 cases that have been reported underwent mitzitza bepeh? So according to the Department of Health, of the 82 boys that were born since 2006, that's an 11-year period of time, 18 had ritual circumcision. And they're saying that all 18 of those weren't just bris milah, but were bris milah with mitzitza bepeh mamish. That's the facts that the Department of Health put out in today's letter. Again, nothing really new. They put out similar letters beforehand. This is just the 18th case. Until today, there were 17 cases. This hit the news today. They just reported another case. Okay. Now, in 2016, there were two cases altogether. In 2015, there were three cases. Okay. Of all the infants that had mitzitza bepeh and had herpes, two babies died, Rahman al-Utslan. So this is not... I'm sorry?
Out of the
cases that had mitzitza bepeh, two of those babies who developed neonatal herpes, two of those babies died.
Out of the 18, yeah.
Actually, they go back a little bit more. They had 24 cases. They went back a little bit early, so it's two of 24. They actually went included six other cases that they had that were before 2006, but they had data on them. So now I've introduced the subject. What is the halachic position? What is mitzitza bepeh? What is the halachic position of mitzitza bepeh? And is the Department of Health accurate in their presentation of these data? So that's really what we're going to speak about a little bit tonight. It's a fascinating subject. So we have to know a little bit about bris milah. I assume none of you are Marlim. I assume all of you have had a bris milah, but that's probably the extent of your personal knowledge with bris milah. You may have seen a couple of brisim, but you probably haven't really seen bris milah up close. If you have, you really probably are not expert in it. So I'll go over a little bit of the halachas of bris milah. I won't go over dinim that aren't related to our subject tonight, but we do know, of course, that there's a famous Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us on Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel, it says over there, Amar Rav Papa, Hay umna delo mayitz sakonahu v'yavrinale. What does that mean? So Rav Papa tells us that the Mishnah tells us you have to do bris milah, and the Mishnah tells us you have to do certain things in bris milah. One of them it tells us is mol v'lo para. If you don't do priya, it's not a good meal. Priya is an absolute requirement. Everybody agrees. You must loosen up the adhesions of the arla to the skin before you do the bris milah. That's called priya. A moel that didn't do priya, mol v'lo para, lo mol. That's clear. But then it says, Amar Rav Papa, Hay umna delo mayitz. If the uman is a term that the Gemara uses in a lot of different places for different things. Sometimes an uman is a doctor, sometimes an uman is a phlebotomist, sometimes an uman can be, those who are doing the daf yomi, an uman can mean any type of artisan, any type of professional, launderers, a uman. So uman can mean a lot of different things in different contexts. When it's used in a medical context, it usually means either a phlebotomist, a doctor, or a surgeon, or it means a moil. So when Rav Papa says, Hay umna delo mayitz, that uman that didn't do mitzitza, mayitz means to do mitzitza. That word, mayitz, is a very important word. We'll get back to it. If you didn't do mitzitza, what does the Gemara say? Rav Papa says, sakonahu. You're putting the baby at risk. You're putting the baby at great danger. And what do we do to the moil? V'yavrinaleh. We don't allow that moil to practice. We take away his license to be a moil. We don't let him do bris milas anymore. What did the Gemara not say? The Gemara didn't say the milah is no good. The Gemara doesn't question the validity of the milah. By Priya, that's why I mentioned that right before, it says Marvel Opara Lo Mal. If you didn't do Priya, it's not Yotzei. That's not a Bris Mila. Tzitzinam Akvin, if you left certain pieces of the foreskin, the Orla present, and they're Ma'ake, they're the type of tzitzin, the little threads or flesh that needs to come off, you got to cut it off, even if it's on Shabbos. If you're allowed to do the Bris Mila on Shabbos and that's still left, you got to go back and do it. You haven't done the Bris Mila. So they're Tzitzinam Ma'akvin, the Tzitzin She'enam Ma'akvin. There we have clearly, if it's Ma'akiv, you have to do it. There's no two ways about it. The Bris Mila didn't occur if you didn't go and do it properly. If you didn't do Priya, you didn't do the Bris Mila properly. But if you didn't do Mitzitza, the Gemara says the Bris is the Kashur Bris. And let me tell you something. There's no posek that I'm aware of that says, if I were to tell you right now that nobody did Mitzitza on your Bris, I don't think there's any posting that says you have to do Hatofas Dam Bris. So nobody says that Bris Mila without Mitzitza is Ma'akev. So what is the status of this Mitzitza? So the Gemara says Sakonahi. It's dangerous if you don't do Mitzitza. Mitzitza, according to the Rambam, says, Kidei sheyetze hadam mimakomos harichokim, that the blood should come out from distant places. What exactly that means is not clear. By sucking on the wound, one could put this in terms of bacteria, you're removing the bacteria from the wound, at least in theory, that's maybe what the Rambam is saying, or you're removing some dead humors, whatever that means, from the wound. And therefore, the Gemara says, you should do this. That's what the Rambam says. Kidei sheyetze adam mimakomos harechokim, that the blood will come out from distant places by your sucking, by your exerting a force to remove bad things in the area of the wound, you're helping the baby. And the Rambam says, "Im lo kein mistakin atinok." If you don't do this, it's dangerous. And the Zohar says, "Im eino motzei tzeish b'zeh sakana." Mipnei sha'adam nikrash b'fi abba, because the blood congeals inside the gid, the area of the Bris Mila. So these reasons are based upon sakana. Now, get a question.
This is the reason for Pesach that you don't have to do Mitzitza with Pet Doc, that people use the tubes.
Hold on. So we'll get to that. We're not up to that yet. Okay. So clearly, let's not depolve it. Mitzitza is recommended in the Gemara to be done. There's no doubt about that. Mitzitza is absolutely recommended to be done. But it's not Ma'akev. That's clear from the Gemara. I'll read you from the Shemin Alevi, Rav Ozer Zatzal, a tshuva that he writes about Mitzitza. He's a kanoi in terms of doing Mitzitza bepet. And I'll read you what he says. He says it's not Ma'akev. So you have the most in favor of Mitzitza bepet, or agreeing. I'm not telling you something left wing. I'm telling you what everybody says. This is halacha lemaisa. It's not ma'akev. So it's done for sakana, to remove sakana. The Department of Health says it creates sakana. So what is the status, therefore, of mitzitza bepet? Should we or should we not do it? So you have a number of opinions. The Teferis Yisrael. The Teferis Yisrael on the Mishnah and Shabbos, and then it's the Gemara in Kuflah Megillah, is the 19th paragraph of Shabbos with Blazer de Mila. And the Teferis Yisrael says that the Gemara says it's a purely medicinal reason. And if we don't think it's medicinally helpful nowadays, Nishtana HaTeva may have been helpful then, may not be helpful now. Or if we have an alternate way of accomplishing the same thing. So the Teferis Yisrael says that you don't do it. You don't have to do it. If that's true. But then the Teferis Yisrael goes and, I don't want to say contradicts himself, but he says that the doctors mistama are wrong in saying that there's no benefit to it. But at least in theory, the Teferis Yisrael says that if we were to say there's no benefit in doing it, and I do have to tell you, it's very difficult. I've seen some very ingenious types of arguments made by various Shomer Torah mitzvahs people, but they're clearly wrong, trying to support medically mitzitza bepeh and say that yes, it does provide a benefit. So this is just playing with facts to try to support a position that's just not halachically necessarily supported by that position. To go into surgery today and tell any patient you're going to suck on the wound, they'll throw you in jail. There is no other place.
Did he use a straw?
I'm sorry?
Did he use a straw?
We'll get to that. That's what he mentioned as well. Yeah, I'm trying to set up the problem for you and then see what halachic terutzim we can come up with, if there are any. And very great rabbis have come up with various terutzim. So to argue that it's essential medically is just lousy science, and lousy science makes lousy halacha. So that's just sheker. That's just not true. There is not a shred of evidence that we have. Now, I'm not arguing that the Teferis is wrong. Teferis said we may not know. So I'm molded. We may not know. I'm telling you what we do know. What we do know is that there is no evidence for it. For people to say that it's a good idea to suck on a wound, they're clearly wrong. That's medically inappropriate. It goes against everything that we do in sterilization in an operating room. Surgeons wash for 5 minutes. They put on gloves that are sterilized. The sterile field. Everybody wears masks. It goes against every principle of infectious diseases and infection control. So therefore, it's ludicrous to say that mitzitza bepeh, to our knowledge today, provides a medical benefit to the baby. So based upon that, there are those that want to take the Teferis Yisrael, only half of what the Teferis Yisrael said, and say, you aren't allowed to do mitzitza bepeh today. Okay, that's an extreme position. I don't know of any major poskim that hold that. I don't know of any major poskim that hold that. People have argued that. Now we'll get to the more, how should I say, appropriate halachic positions. Okay? Now, this is a famous discussion. And this is based upon a wonderful communication that we have between the Yad Eliezer and the Chassam Sofer. This is occurring between 1835 and 1847. And if anybody really wants details on this, I have a lot of details about this. If you really want to look this up, one of the best sources is, again, Rabbi Steinberg's encyclopedia. It's in the third volume, starting on page 648. Phenomenal, whole, complete discussion of this subject, but there are many, many, many other sources as well. Again, if you want, I put together a source list. I don't think the purpose of this course is to make you a bucky on anything, but I have here listed about 20, 25 references. If anybody wants, I'll be happy to circulate this. It's a fascinating sugya. If the sugya interests you, by all means, go into it. But again, in an introductory course like this, I just want to give you a taste. The purpose isn't to make you a bucky on this subject. So in the 1800s, early, middle 1800s, like the 1820s, 1830s, so there was an outbreak of some sort of an infection in neonates, which was a very serious infection. We don't know medically what it was because they didn't know that something called herpes existed then. Herpes is a virus. Until the advent of electron microscopy, which was a much, much later invention, we never saw viruses before. You can't see them under a microscope. So they were pretty adept with a light microscope, but that only gives you a magnification of maybe up to 1,000. An electron microscope can give you magnification of hundreds of thousands. You can't see a virus at a magnification of 1,000. It takes hundreds of thousands of magnifications to be able to see a virus. So they had no idea that there was an entity called herpes simplex. They did have an idea that there's something called tuberculosis. They did have an idea that there's something called syphilis. So they were very concerned that these babies had some sort of an infection. And what the public health departments in those parts of Europe wanted to do was stop bris milah, because they associated this with bris milah. So that's, in and of itself, a very important fact that unless something was done, there was the potential that bris milah would be banned or would have to go under the radar. And one must keep that in mind in this halachic discussion. So in 1837, The Yad Eliezer, who was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, so he writes to his Rebbe, and he asks his Rebbe, he says, what should we do? We have this real problem over here. We have the government bearing down on us to say that we should stop doing Bris Mila. Possibly. They didn't ban it. So he said, what can we do? And in a series of correspondence, which we have the correspondence, we have the Ksiv Yad. The Chassam Sofer Paskins in 1845, over this multi-year correspondence between his Talmud, Rabbi Eliezer, the Yad Eliezer, and the Chassam Sofer, the Chassam Sofer Paskins, that you are allowed to not do Metzitza B'Peh Mamish. Now, Metzitza B'Peh, and Metzitza B'Peh Mamish are terms that I use over here. Metzitza B'Peh means sucking, but lav davka does it mean direct contact with the mouth and the secretions from the moyle's mouth directly onto the womb. And that's where people have mentioned you can use a pipette, or you use some sort of a shpoferis, a tube. Or, as was recommended, they use the sponge, they use the sfug. And via the sponge, that would sop up or squeeze in the bad humors that the Rambam talks about, the bacteria maybe, the viruses maybe. And you would accomplish what the Gemara says, sakonahu, in a non-metzitza b'peh mamish, on the womb sort of a way. Does everybody get what I just said? If you have a question, ask it. It's okay.
Who said it?
So this is the Chassam Sofer corresponding to the Yad Eliezer. Okay? Is this codified anywhere? Is this written down anyplace? Yeah, it's in Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha. The Bir Halacha quotes this Yad Eliezer. And the Mishnah Berurah says you can rely upon it. You want the addresses of this?
The Yad Eliezer says you shouldn't. Which one?
The Chassam Sofer wrote to the Yad Eliezer. The Yad Eliezer publicized this heter that his Rebbe, the Chassam Sofer, gave. And he writes that you can rely upon this heter. He got a heter from his Rebbe. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Sorry, I don't have the exact spot here right now. We'll get it for you. I'll get it for you when we come to it. I'll come to it soon. Okay? So this is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. This heter of the Yad Eliezer, as told to him by the Chassam Sofer in writing, is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah as an acceptable way to do Bris Mila, to do Metzitza B'Peh through a Sfug. And the Chassam Sofer says, as long as the doctors say you can accomplish what needs to be accomplished in this fashion, Chassam Sofer says it's okay. And that's when all heck breaks out. Okay, that's when everybody begins to question and attack the Yad Eliezer. And everybody begins to question and attack whether the Chassam Sofer actually wrote these tshuvas to the Yad Eliezer, which there is no doubt that he did. And then there are Talmidim that hand wrote onto the tshuva that the Chassam Sofer wrote. Talmidim of the Ksav Sofer hand wrote on it and said it's Horas Shah. And the Shevet Alevi quotes that. He says, I saw the tshuva, and on the side it's handwritten by the Talmidim of the Ksav Sofer, Chassam Sofer's son, that this was a Horas Shah. This was a one-time heter that wasn't to be disseminated and isn't to be relied upon under any other circumstance. It was a one-time heter, it was a horas shah. For that period of time, they were going to ban Bris Mila, and if they were going to ban Bris Mila, so then you had the right to rely upon the Chassam Sofer's heter. But if they're not going to ban Bris Mila, so you don't have the right to rely upon that heter. And that's where a lot of the controversy comes in. And you have major Talmidim of the Chassam Sofer, including the Maram Shik, including the Chalkis Yaakov. You have the Binyan Sion. The Chalkis Yaakov was much later. The Binyan Sion and the Maram Shik were the major Talmidim who absolutely said that their Rebbe The Chasam Sofer never gave this as a general rule, and they go so far as to say that Metzitza, and this is revolutionary, because you don't find this before that period of time, the late middle 1800s, you don't find anybody saying the poskim at that point in time are the first ones to innovate, if that's the right word, that Metzitza b'peh mamish is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. You don't find that anywhere earlier than the middle 1800s, late 1800s. But nevertheless, the Chalkas Yaakov, with Mordechai Breisch, who's a posek from the 1950s or so in Switzerland, the great posek, his son is the rabbi in Switzerland now, he writes, Metzitza b'peh l'das kama, according to some, mitzvah d'oraisa, u'b'chol ofen al-kol pachos mitzvah d'rabban. It's a d'oraisa, he says, or at least a d'rabban. The Mishnah Halachos, the Ungva Rebbe, Rabbi Nasha Klein Zatzal, contemporary Rebbe, died about 6 years ago, wrote the Mishnah Halachos, huge compendium. He writes, Metzitza b'peh halach l'moshe m'Sinai. So you have great gedolim that say that it is a halach l'moshe m'Sinai. That certainly is the minority opinion. The vast, vast, vast majority of the poskim say that this is based upon the Gemara. It was a rabbinical edict to prevent sakana.
So they're not denying that he still wrote it, they're saying.
I think nobody today denies it. There were a number of articles published saying that it was a forgery. There were a number of articles published saying that he didn't write it. I think everybody agrees that Chasam Sofer wrote it. Certainly the Mishnah Berurah believes it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes this.
And it's not a general rule, but the fact that he does it, why can't we use it as precedent for other types of cases?
So there are many that do. There are many, many that rely upon the Siyat Eliezer. They rely upon the Mishnah Berurah. They rely upon the Brisker Rav. They rely upon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And they rely upon the Rav Zatzal, Rav Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, who all feel that you are not allowed or should not do Metzitza B'Peh Mamish, because you can accomplish the exact same thing halachically, via either the shvug, which was a sponge, or a pipette, a shvoferis. And the Moalim today, they put a shvoferis. They put a tube over the glands of the child, or over the area of the circumcision, and they suck on that. They don't come their mouth into contact with the wound, and the ability to accomplish the same thing is direct suctioning is felt to be accomplished, whatever that accomplishment does. Again, medically, I can't tell you why that's necessary. So the Teferis Yisrael would argue, possibly, that you don't have to do it if it's not necessary. But again, the Teferis Yisrael said, we're not sure, so therefore he says to do it anyway. But since you can accomplish the same thing, all of the poskim that I just mentioned to you, and others, many others, would therefore say that you should not do Metzitza B'Peh Mamish, but you can do Metzitza B'Peh and accomplish possibly the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, according to those that say it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, but certainly accomplish the did the rabbanit that you have to do mitzitza b'peh without any risk.
Well, I don't understand the risk is the government interfering.
No, the risk is that can a moil who has potentially herpes virus in his mouth, when he suctions, puts his lips, his saliva on the wound, transfer that virus to the baby? So that's unknown in the sense it's never been proven. When I say it's never been proven, the Department of Health that I read to you just said that there are 18 cases since 2006 in males who had Metzitza B'Peh who developed neonatal herpes. That doesn't prove that Metzitza B'Peh caused it, but it makes it to me, as an infectious disease physician, highly suspicious that it could have happened. The mechanism is certainly a possibility. It's not far-fetched.
So shouldn't Rabbanim educate them, like, you shouldn't be a moil if that's what you have?
So you would be basically requiring every moil to undergo a blood test every month, and you're going to apostle 90 to 95% of the people in the population for being moil, because 90 to 95% of the people have antibodies to herpes simplex. So you're getting to an idea, but not fully there. What you're really saying is, shouldn't we be doing everything possible, if you are going to do Metzitza B'Peh Mamish, to reduce the risk in a moil. And there I'll say yes. And I've spoken to Haredi Poskim, and I've spoken to Haredi Beis Din, who insist upon doing Matzitzim Peh Mamish, and try to explain to them that you can reduce any possible risk by doing certain things. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But one option, and this is the option that the RCA has officially poskimed. RCA is the Rabbinical Council of America. With Gedalia Schwartz, Herschel Schechter, Mordechai Willig are the major poskim of the RCA. 1,000 Orthodox Rabbonim. I'm a member of the RCA. I wrote the draft. I wrote the draft paper for the RCA on this subject. And the idea is that you can accomplish l'chatchila, metzitza b'peh, based upon the Yad Eliezer, the Chassam Sofer, all the other poskim. So why take a chance on doing it with metzitza with direct contact? And that's the psak of the RCA. You should do metzitza b'peh through a tube, you accomplish metzitza b'peh, and you also accomplish not any theoretical or real risk to the baby, which again is a potentially fatal illness to the baby. There are two Jewish babies that died, that we know of, after they had Matzitza B'Peh. Now notice how I said that. After they had Matzitza B'Peh, I didn't say because they had Matzitza B'Peh. And that's the unknown. Science has never conclusively shown the same virus in the mouth of a moil as was isolated from the virus on the baby. When they do that, or when they don't do that, then we'll know for certain the route of transmission. So we have not yet demonstrated that. Why not? That's more of a political than a science or a halachic discussion. Moalim don't want to be tested. Department of Health doesn't want to test them in a way that the Moalim will allow to be tested. That's more of a political and lack of trust.
So if they were to be tested...
So in Muncie, they did this. In the Westchester Department of Health, they did exactly this. They got the Rabbanim and the Department of Health together, and they successfully collaborated, and they had two babies that were born who again developed neonatal herpes who had Matzitza B'Peh, and they got serial swabs on the Moalim and they compared them to the swabs that the babies had, and guess what?
They were a match.
They were not a match. Neither of the two cases was a match.
So,
that would strongly suggest that it's not 100%. And that, as I told you, all those women who got neonatal herpes, all those baby girls, neonatal herpes can come from the mother. Neonatal herpes can come from the nurse or the mother or whoever it is taking care of the baby and diapering them, and they just touch their mouth with their finger and they diaper the baby. That happens all the time. And you can give the baby post-birth, not through Mila. There have been babies that have had no Mila Matzitza B'Peh and have gotten neonatal herpes. So it's not 100% clear scientifically. But as an honest scientist, I have to say, it certainly is suspicious. And therefore my psak, based upon my rabbi, is that one should not do Matzitza B'Peh unless your rebbe, your rav says, I'm of the Matzitza B'Peh Mamish, unless your Rebbe, your Rav, is of the persuasion that says it's either Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai or it's absolutely necessary to do until we prove that it's dangerous. And we haven't proven yet that it's dangerous to their satisfaction. We have principles, Shomer Pesayim Hashem. We've been doing this for 2,000 years, 5,000 years. We're not going to stop now because there's a case that suggests otherwise. And I respect that halachic opinion. There are great Gedolei Yisrael that have that halachic opinion. The vast majority of the Haredi poskim have that opinion. Certainly the Hasidish poskim have that opinion. But that's not the only opinion. Each side has to respect the other Gedolei Yisrael's opinion. And both are valid opinions. And the RCA statement said that while we recognize that others may poskim differently, we support their ability to poskim differently. For our psak, we poskim this way. And they recommend that you not do Matzitza B'Peh Mamish, but you should do Matzitza B'Peh through a pipette, through a svug, a tube, and those poskim that insist that you do it Matzitza B'Peh Mamish, so they have the right to poskim that way. Yeah.
Sorry, who is publicly poskim maybe Matzitza B'Peh Mamish?
Did you have to do it Mamish?
Yeah, like any public.
Yeah, so I'll read you the Shevet HaLevi, for one, a great Rav Ozmus at South. But many, many others, Rebelsky, Tzatzal, now we have to say, unfortunately, Rav Yashiv, all the great poskim.
Uh-huh.
According to many, Rav Moshe held that way too.
Uh-huh.
So, I'm sorry?
Can I ask you?
I can't tell you a single Haredi poskim that doesn't hold like that.
Even with a death rate that high?
So, again, we have to be very careful how we phrase that. The death rate that high, there's only two babies that have died.
I had 24, though.
But that's out of thousands and thousands and tens of thousands who had mitzitzah bepeh. So you have to know what you're talking about. But for those two babies, that's horrible. I'm not minimizing that risk.
We know for sure was from
I once school. Wrote something that said that I can't aser mitzitzah bepeh, and I was called a murderer in public, in somebody's blog.
And they know for sure that the cause was from mitzitzah.
No, so that's what I'm saying. We don't know for sure. It's an association.
They didn't take like a spot. Yeah.
They don't have any proof for any of these 24 cases, or these 18 cases, that the mole's DNA from his virus was in the baby. We have no proof. So that's not a gold standard proof. But it is enough that I'm concerned about it, because I know that that's a potential route of transmission, and it's also, according to the evidence, at least circumstantial evidence that suggests that it could be true. That's not causality. That's an association. I read you to Shevet Halevi. Shevet Halevi is found, for those who want a chelik beis, in Kuf Lamed Aleph. Binyan ha-ksiv yad shel Chassam Sofer. Shevet Halevi says, I saw the ksiv yad of the Chassam Sofer to Releza Horowitz, the Yad Eliezer. Gamani Re'isiv. I saw it myself. The Shevet Halevi, Revozda Zatzal. I saw it myself in London. Shoshana Yamunah. Tell you exactly where we saw it. One of my Rebbeim always said, when the Gemara gives you details on a case that are extraneous, it's always to tell you that this is a real case. It's not a Beis Medrash case. This is a real Halacha L'Maisa case. So, Revozda Zatzal, I saw this in London. He's telling you, I didn't just see this. Ah, yeah, I saw it. I'm telling you where I saw it. I saw the Ksiv Yad. Vayakosuv Shom Bitzad, was written on the side of the Chassam Sofer's Tshuva, Meyachad Mitamide Ksav Sofer, Godel B'Torah, who was a Godel B'Torah, Sheksiv Yad Zeshel Chassam Sofer, Be'inyan Amatzitza, Osu Lufarsimo. He says, you can't publicize this. This is a private psak from the Chassam Sofer to the Yad Eliezer for the people of Vienna. Rabbi Eliezer Horowitz was the Rav in Vienna. He was the chief rabbi of Vienna. Ki achasam sofer lo kisavu lefarsum elo lohoras sho ki yodua. He says it was only a one-time deal. And then he writes, Hagon Abin Yitzion, of Yaakov Ettinger, brings down Hagon Bal Yad Eliezer lo tov oso bi'abov. Very nice way to say it. That I couldn't disagree more with the Yad Eliezer. He calls him Hagon. Hagon Rav Yaakov Eliezer, Rav Yad Eliezer, Bal Yad Eliezer, couldn't have done worse for his people. Ukvar kosafti ki tumiya kayemes al hagoyin atzadik bal mishne brura orech chayim simin shin lamed aleph. That's the address for the Chofetz Chaim telling you shin lamed aleph that the Yad Eliezer is how we pass. Shehetik kodim divrei binyan tzion v'yachakach divrei bal Yad Eliezer. Kicholik al dvarav, as if the Yad Eliezer was arguing with the Binyan Tzion. The whole point of Revozda, which I, to be honest, I don't understand, he's saying, well, the Mishnah Berurah should have put him in the other order, because the Binyan Tzion came after the Yad Eliezer. He argued with the Yad Eliezer. Zekilkul ashura, ki bal Binyan Tzion kosa dvarav kicholik mevatul di Rabbi Eliezer. He says the Binyan Tzion is the later authority, and he's telling you the early authority was wrong. I'm not sure I understand how that in any way impacts on what the Chofetz Chaim wrote. The Chofetz Chaim is telling you, I pass like the Yad Eliezer. He quotes the Binyan Tzion, and he says, I pass like the Yad Eliezer. Chofetz Chaim's 50 years after both of them. So what difference does it make? I didn't understand that part of the tshuva, to be honest with you. And bottom line, he writes, Masha Kosov Rabbeinu HaMishnah Berurah de Metzitza Besfug Beduka Yoser Mi Metzitza Bepeh. The Mishnah Berurah writes, why is the Yad Eliezer right? Because it works better. Mishnah Berurah seems to be working with the assumption that it's purely medicinal, and that if you can accomplish the medicinal requirement without doing the dangerous action of Metzitza Bepeh, or at least the potentially dangerous action of Metzitza Bepeh Mamish, says do it. So the Shevet Alevi says over here, Kimidimuni shamitzius machish zos. The Shevet Alevi says he disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah's scientific facts. And he says that I don't think that you can accomplish with a pipette what you can accomplish with the mouth. So here I can argue with the Shevet Alevi. I'm not arguing halach with him, I'm arguing mitzius. I think you can accomplish very well with a pipette what you can accomplish with the oral suction. So I disagree with that mitzius that the Shevet Alevi brings down. It's a medical mitzius. I have the right to disagree with that. Mihu. Now here's the most important point that I want to bring from the Shevet Alevi. He's as big a kanoi as you have those in favor of mitzius of bepeh. Vaday de bemakom sheyesh chashash aydezeh yevatlu mitzvas mila legamrei. I agree with the Ad Eliezer, he's essentially saying. If you're concerned that they're going to ban mitzitz, or what happens in America, when people read these Department of Health letters, they don't really understand them. And they say, oh, you're not doing a bris milah on my baby, says irreligious but Jewish mother to the very nice Jewish doctor who says you should have a bris milah, I'll give you my friend the mile to do this. Milam do a lot of bris milahs on irreligious people. They're going to be concerned. They may not do a bris milah. Oh, you're one of those rabbis that does the bris milah? Are you going to suck on my baby's gland? Is that what you're going to do? No, I'm going to have the conservative lady rabbi do the bris milah, right? That's what they're saying. You have to understand what goes on in the mind of people. And the Shevet Alevi understood that. He says, if there's a concern that people won't do a bris milah, then be quiet and don't protest. What to me the Shevet Alevi is saying is, if the RCA feels that there are going to be people that aren't going to do a bris milah, and that's why the RCA comes out with their psak, we have to yell and scream. But everybody still yells and screams. I just read you the Shevet Alevi, word for word. He's saying sometimes it's better to be still. And he says, furthermore, it says in a case where they were doing a bris milah on a Russian adult, and he says, don't do mitzitza. The tzitz Eliezer paskin in that situation, do not do mitzitza bepeh. And he writes, this is in Reishu Dalet in Chelik Dalet, he writes, v'yesh tamim unimukim ein tzarech lefarish. There are many deep reasons over here which I won't go into. He doesn't go into it, so I'm not sure what he means. I think what he means is that it's very, how should we say this, it would not be good press for the Jewish people to have a moel doing a bris milah on a 44-year-old Russian gentleman and doing direct oral suctioning directly on the bris milah. I don't think that would play well in Peoria. So therefore, I think that's what the Shevet Alevi is saying. Don't do it. Whatever his reasoning is, the Shevet Alevi say, don't do mitzitza b'peh mamish in that situation. So clearly, the Shevet Alevi says it's not ma'akev. Clearly, the Shevet Alevi doesn't say it's halach b'moshe b'sinai, you're not yotzei if you don't do it. And many, many other poskim say the exact same thing. So you basically have a machlok, this great poskim. I want to read you what the Rosh Yeshiva Soloveitchik said. You live here in Queens, or you're going to school here in Queens. There's a shul about 5 blocks away called the Young Israel of Kew Gardens Hills. Rabbi Yoel Schoenfeld is the rabbi over there. Many of you may know him. Good friend of mine. Wonderful Talmud Chacham. His father, Shlita, Rav Fabian Schoenfeld. Herschel Schechter writes in the Nefesh HaRav, Pam achas, rotzo ha-moel lasos mitzitza bepet. One time there was a moel that wanted to do mitzitza bepet. Rav Yashaber Soloveitchik was there at the time. Ubikesh Rabbeinu Mimenu Shlo Yasa, Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik, Zatzal, told them all, please do not do mitzitza bepeh, mamish. Ukishehitzir Hamoil, Badavar, the Moil begged and pleaded with the Rav, please let me do mitzitza bepeh. Amalei Rabbeinu, Rav Shechter writes, Rav Yosher Ben Soloveitchik said, She'ilu oya oviv hagon Rav Moshe Soloveitchik nochach, if my holy father of Moshe Soloveitchik were here, the Rav said, you know what he would have done? Lo hayom inichol klal lasos ha-metzitza b'peh b'shum ofer. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, following in his father's footsteps, Rav Chaim Brisker, would never have allowed Mitzitza B'peh Mamish to be done. But you know what the Rav said? Aval ani me'od tolerant. I'm very tolerant. No, since you're really pushing me, you really, 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 really want to do Mitzitza B'peh Mamish, okay, gizontay, do it. Who told this story to Rav Shechter? Who told this story from the Rav? Rav Shechter writes, V'sipra lanu harav rav shraga feivul shonfel sheyichya, Rav Fabian shonfel shlita, shuv d'haisa eitzel habris mila shobino harav yoel shonfel shlita. Rabbi Yoel Shonfel, the rabbi of the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hill, is five blocks from here. He's the baby in the story that had the bris mila. Rabbi Fabian Shonfel comes from a Hasidish background. And the moel he got in the stone was a Hasidish moel who insisted and wanted to do mitzitza b'peh. And Rabbi Yashar ben Soloveitchik said, my father would never have let you do it, but I'm a very tolerant rabbi, and if you want to do it, you can. And that to me comes full circle. We need to be more tolerant with other opinions. There are great Gedolei Yisrael. Who am I to come in between the Binyan Sion and the Yad Eliezer? Who am I to come in between the opinion of the Shevet Alevi, Rav Yashiv, and the opinion of Herschel Shechter, and the opinion of the Rav? It's not for us to paskin. It's a great Gedolei Yisrael to paskin. My job is to provide the correct medical opinion. My correct medical opinion in this situation is that there is a potential risk of a moil who has herpes virus in his mouth to transmit that if he does a mitzitza b'peh mamish. Do I know that for certain? No, I do not. Has it ever been conclusively proven? No, it has not. People don't like to hear that. Is there circumstantial evidence supporting that? Absolutely. People don't like to hear that. Neither side likes to hear the evidence. I'm just here to tell you what the honest evidence is. It has not been conclusively proven, but there is a significant amount of association that makes me, as an infectious disease physician and as a Rav, concerned enough that my halachic opinion would go towards the side of Rav Shechter Shlita, which it would go anyway, but I would follow that opinion. And therefore, when people ask me, I recommend to do Mitzitza B'peh, not Mamish, do Mitzitza B'peh with the Shofaris. And if somebody comes to me and says his Rav insists that they do Mitzitza B'peh, so then I go to your question, so I don't have a name in the corner.
David.
So David had a good point. What can we do to reduce the risk? So there's ways to reduce the risk to almost zero, even if there is a risk. And that is, every moel should be gargling with a strong antiseptic a half an hour before the bris mila and right before the bris mila. I wonder if that's one of the reasons why we make a bracha and the moel, or whoever it is, drinks wine. Whether that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of putting in an antiseptic, I don't know. I find it interesting. In any event, that's a simple thing. There's less man depolling. There's nobody that says that the moel can't gargle. Nobody says, even if it's Allah HaMosh Vesina, that he must have virus in his mouth. Number two, every moel should inspect his mouth the morning of the mila. If he sees any lesions, he should recuse himself. He can still do the mila. Let just somebody else do the mitzitza b'peh. It used to be that it was an honor. It used to be kibudim, right? Oh, the kvater, and we have sandik me'umud, sandik me'yushav. So there used to be another kibud that they would give out. We now call up so-and-so to do the mitzitza b'peh. That was the kibud. So give it the kibud to somebody else. If you're the moel and you're doing it and you have a lesion in your mouth, A, I wouldn't let you do the mila if I knew you had a lesion in the mouth, because maybe on your hands, even if you're not doing mitzitza b'peh. So certainly a moel should inspect his mouth. If he has any lesions in his mouth, he shouldn't do bris mila. I think also nobody would argue that. Baruch Hashem, there are a lot of moelim. Get another moel. One can make the argument that you should do blood tests on the moel and only let a moel who is negative for herpes simplex do bris mila. So then you can have a very, very finite pool of moelim, because 90, 95% of the people have antibodies. So again, by taking appropriate precautions, rinsing, gargling with alcohol or some sort of antiseptic right before the bris mila and a half an hour before the bris mila. Studies have shown you decrease the amount of virus in your mouth if you have virus in your mouth by doing that. So that's reasonable. There are some that suggest that every moel should take an antiviral pill. before he does the bris milah. Can't say that that's right, can't say that that's wrong. It would probably be effective. So there are people that are on these antivirals who have herpes infections to prevent recurrences. So some say, let a mohel go take that type of medication before he does a bris milah, or on a regular basis. He does bris milahs every day. Busy mohel could do bris milahs several every day. So let him take every day the antiviral medication and prevent any amount of virus that may be present to diminish it. That's also another good answer. And certainly, if you're doing mitzitzah v'peh, make sure that anybody's taking care of the baby, so they should examine the baby, make sure there are no lesions on the baby before they do the mitzitzah v'peh. In at least one of the cases, there was a suggestion that the baby actually had herpes lesions present before the mitzitzah v'peh was done, before the bris milah, but it was ignored. So again, the mohel should be examining the baby very carefully, make sure there are no other lesions. And then the final precaution is to make sure that nobody taking care of the baby has lesions in the mouth. The mothers, the grandmothers, the fathers, whoever it may be, to make sure that they don't have any lesions in the mouth, because they can transmit to the baby just like the mohel can, because they're constantly in contact with the baby, and your hand, you get saliva, you spit in the area by accident, so you can transmit the virus to the wound in that fashion as well. So there are a lot of things that you can do to diminish any theoretical risk that's actually present. And that's what makes this such an interesting sugya, the interface over here between medicine and halacha, the interesting halachic discussion, the difference amongst the poskim, and it's just a fascinating sugya. Questions? Yeah?
You said that antiviral pill can diminish the virus itself?
Yes, it diminishes the amount of virus that you would have if they did have virus.
So this can be prescribed to anyone that has?
Yeah, sure. We use it all the time to treat or prevent people who have recurrences that are clinical on a regular basis.
So are you saying that the mohel should be on the pill?
So there are those that would make the argument, if a mohel knows he's ever had lesions in his mouth, this mohel gets lesions every now and then. So before he does bris milah, it's either the pet, he should definitely take an antiviral. I would not want to know, if I was of the Sak halacha, that you must do mitzitzah b'peh, mamish, I would do a lot of investigation into the mohel. I would ask him, do you get mouth sores? If he tells me yes, he gets mouth sores, how often do you get mouth sores? Are you on Valtrex? Are you on some suppressive therapy? I'm not sure I would want that person to be a mohel. As opposed to, he has a positive antibody. Well, everybody has a positive antibody. But if he doesn't get recurrent mouth sores, so then the likelihood of him shedding virus is very low, but it's never absolutely zero. We don't know. You have to do literally a viral test every day, which takes several days to get back, so you're not going to know it at the time of the meal. We don't have an instantaneous rapid test to see is there virus present. Maybe one of you boys will invent that, and you can make this entire problem go away by having the virus, having the mohel do a viral swab, and you're do like a pregnancy test, and it comes back positive, the mohel can't do the milah, if it comes back negative, the mohel can do the milah. So you guys have your homework assignment to do. Develop a test to solve this halachic medical dilemma. Yeah?
You mentioned there was one case of neonatal herpes that pre-existed the milah.
The thought is, there was, if you look back at the notes, there was some rash present around the genital area the day before the bris milah. And
so
was that the early onset of the herpes lesion, or was that totally unrelated? So we don't know.
So if there's a known case of neonatal herpes before the meal, is that a reason to not do
meal? If it's a genital herpes, they won't do bris milah, absolutely not. That would be a medical halachic reason not to do bris milah. It's a potentially fatal illness. You don't want to create a wound there that could make things far worse.
What do you do in that situation?
You postpone the bris.
Until
the baby is healed.
Then the baby, we know the baby has it.
Yeah, so then there's almost no chance that the baby will have a problem.
But that might be passing off the mohel then.
So there always was a concern, can the mohel get something from the baby? That was when HIV first came out, when AIDS first came out. That was the bigger concern before neonatal herpes, is should a mohel not do mitzitzah v'peh so the mohel doesn't get. Now that's a very valid concern. I would not want to do mitzitzah v'peh sucking up blood from a baby who may have a contagious disease. That's actually a quite real risk. But thank God none of the Maalim have ever come down with anything. But there are many doctors that have come down with hepatitis B and hepatitis C from surgery. And dentists, for example, and surgeons that did pelvic surgery because of the way pelvic surgery was done have very high incidences in the past of hepatitis B. So it definitely can be transmitted that way. But Baruch Hashem, I'm not aware of any Maalim that we know about that got hepatitis B or hepatitis C or HIV from doing a Mila, a Matzitza B'Ped, or a Bris Mila. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen, right. Just may not know about it. But again, it's unlikely. The amount of time that they do with the contact is a second or two. It's not a long exposure. In fact, Rabelski Zatzal writes that he thinks the whole problem with Matzitza B'Ped, why it's become such a situation, is the Maalim weren't doing it correctly and properly. They were faking doing Matzitza B'Ped. Rabelski wrote that down. So Rabelski actually said that he felt that the Maalim weren't doing Matzitza B'Ped long enough and properly enough. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, made this whole sugya flare up. Very interesting idea. Okay, any other questions? So again, that Department of Health letter is literally written 3 or 4 hours ago. It's really hot off the press. It tells you how pressing this sugya is. I'm sure I'm going to get, I already got 4 questions about it. And the time it came out, so now, not including this year, 4 people called me up about it already. And it's going to be a big problem. Whenever something like this comes up, it causes people not to do Bris Mila. It causes people to be very concerned about Bris Mila. Not Baruch Hashem, Shomer Torah Mitzvahs people, but there are a lot of non-Shomer Torah Mitzvahs people who still do Bris Mila. And they get very scared when they read something about this, and they don't want a rabbi doing it. They want their gynecologist or their pediatrician to do the Bris Mila, who may or may not be Jewish, or may or not be a front person, may not be doing a Bris Mila, may be doing a circumcision on day 3 instead of a Bris Mila on day 8. And that's a very, very big problem. So there's 2 sides to every coin. You can be machmir. Yeah, must do this, and you cause a kula there. Or you can be makel over here, and you cause a problem over there. Yeah.
Well, if a doctor is doing a circumcision, do they suck blood out?
Absolutely not. They'll be thrown out of the hospital. I will throw them
out
of the hospital.
I'm not using a doctor using a straw or anything. I'm saying like with a suction tube or something.
I would tell you that there's no place in medicine for that. They do not do that.
So why do we do it?
We do it based upon the Gemara and Shabbos. We would not be doing this. We don't do this for any other type of surgery. The Gemara and Shabbos says, Mol v'lo motzatz sakana.
If it's such a sakana, then why wouldn't...
So we don't know. We don't understand that Gemara. Nishtana HaTeva, that's what the Tiferes Yisrael says. Things have changed. We don't understand. Lots of things. We never paskin like the Gemara when it comes to medicine. I mentioned this the other time, I think. The Gemara, you're not allowed to paskin like the Gemara in medicine. Not that you should. You're not allowed to. You're supposed to ignore the Gemara when it comes to paskining, because it's not Torah Misinai. This is based upon the understanding they had at that time. And even if it's something is a deeper understanding, we may be misinterpreting the Gemara. So all the great poskim say you should not paskin from the Gemara's medicine's recommendations. And it's actually dangerous if you do so, because if people follow that and then they don't get better, they're going to say, what do the rabbis know? And they're going to say, what do the rabbis know about Bava Metzia also? And what do they know about Hilchas Tyrus HaMishpacha? They can make a mistake here, they can make a mistake there. So the poskim all say you can't paskin a Gemara based upon the medical acts, and we don't. You look through all the Gemaras, we don't necessarily do it. Every now and then we say, oh gee, that does make sense, we understand it. So that's to our credit when we understand it, but it's not to the Gemara's discredit when we don't understand it, but we don't follow it. Okay. So we have about 10-15 minutes left, so I thought we could just very, very quickly go through smoking. Okay? I should have done drinking today. You know what? Maybe, if you don't mind, just hit me. I should have done drinking today because of Purim. So I will give you a quick musher smooth off the cuff on drinking on Purim. All right? Everybody knows the famous Gemara, Chai Vinish L'Besume B'Purim. All right? So that is one of the most misunderstood, and Lanias Dati, one of the most dangerous Gemaras that exist, and it causes a tremendous amount of Chilul Hashem. if you don't follow what the post is saying, I didn't bring any svar with me, but I know this sugya pretty well. So I'll point you out. I believe it's a Teish, a Tough Reish Sadi Hey, and that's where you find the statement based upon the Gemara Megillah Davav, and the understanding of that Gemara, what it means. I will give you the bottom lines. The Kolbo, as one of the great Rishonim, says that just about the worst thing a person can do in life is getting drunk. He says it's the equal to Gili Arayish, Shvichas Domim, and Avodah Zarah. The Rabbeinu Ephraim understands that the Gemara, and the Rif seems to paskin like the Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the Gemara is telling us you're not allowed to drink. Not that you're allowed to drink. Because right after the story, there's a mice, I think what Papa and Rava, I forgot already who it is. I'm sorry, Rav Zeira and Rava, I forgot already who it was. So Rav Zeira and Rava, so they have a Maisa that they go drink together, and Rav Zeira kills Rava, right? Is that, I hope we get the names right. Other way around? Rava kills Rav Zeira, fine. So what happens over there? Next year they want to get together to drink. He does Tchias HaMesim on him, and the next year he says, no, we're not going to do this. I'm not, ain't some Chanal HaNes. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says that comes after the story of Chayiv Inish L'Besumim B'Purim, and the Rif paskins that way, that you're not allowed to drink on Purim. Now, I have to be fair and honest, I always try to be fair and honest, that's not the way it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. But you do have great Gedolim that totally understand that story in a different way than it's been brought down. So Shulchan Aruch does quote that halacha. But everybody doesn't read the rest of Shulchan Aruch. So number one, when are you supposed to drink? During the Suda. What are you supposed to drink? Wine. So if you want to be machmir, the way and the only way to be machmir is to drink during the Suda wine. To drink, you know, hard spirits, liquor, schnapps, whatever you're drinking, you know, the night before, Motzei Shabbos this year, that's a made up halacha. It's totally made up. To get drunk then, to make a chilul Hashem then, to put yourself at medical risk. I've taken care of many people acutely drunk who wear yarmulkes on their head. In shul, in Simchas Torah, on Purim, and in the hospital. One of the nurses came up to me once and says, after another Nebuch Jewish boy was brought into the emergency room, said, oh yeah, it's that Jewish St. Patrick's Day. To have a goyish nurse say that, you know what a chilul Hashem that is? Mishnah Berurah, look in the Bir Halacha. He says, you can't follow any opinion about getting drunk if it's going to cause you to miss out mitzvahs. If you're drinking during the meal to the extent that you're stinking drunk, how are you benching? Benching is a chiyuv d'oraisa. V'yachalta v'savata v'rachta. You're supposed to eat kidei sviya. You're supposed to have sudas purim. You can't bench if you're drunk. It's a to'eva. Yimavatul mitzvah sasei daraisa. How you do that? That's the Mishnah Berurah. That's not me talking. How are you allowed to do that? How are you not allowed to daven mincha or maariv depending on when you start drinking? It's a toeva to daven when you're drunk. I've been in a room with people who look very, 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 very frum, and it's a toeva. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says about their davening, and they're shuffling away. They look very, very religious, and they look very, very stupid in my eyes. It's a huge chilul Hashem. They're doing keneged what the Torah says to do. What does the Rambam say to do? What does the Ramah paskin you should do? You should drink a little bit more than you're used to during the Suda of wine. Doesn't say anything about blue label. Doesn't say anything about double malt, single malt. Doesn't say anything about driving when you're in that inebriated condition. Says drink a little more. That's how it's paskin by the Ramah. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says you should do. How come we don't follow the Mishnah Berurah? Nobody likes to follow the Mishnah Berurah when it's inconvenient. It's only when the Mishnah Berurah has some chumrah that you happen to like, the Mishnah Berurah says. Everything else the Mishnah Berurah says nobody wants to follow. Mishnah Berurah says drink a little bit more than usual. I have one cup of Kiddush on Shabbos. I always have two cups at the Suda. That's more than usual. Makes me feel a little bit tired. I sit back in my seat, I close my eyes. I'm Yotzei Lichat Chila. The Rambam, the Ramah, the Mishnah Berurah. That's pretty good for me. I bench the Kavana. I say Divrei Torah at the Suda, which it says you also should do. The Suda is a Suda's mitzvah, not a Suda's hefkeris and hilulus, which the post can all say totally destroys the purpose of the Suda. And now we'll make this a medical ethics shiur. It's dangerous. There's something called acute alcohol intoxication, which is a fatal illness. You can die from acute alcohol intoxication. You can get abnormal heart rhythms from acute alcohol intoxication. You can crack your skull open, get a subdural hematoma, all sorts of horrible neurological problems by being drunk and tripping and falling. If you drive a car and you're drunk, it's manslaughter. They could throw you in jail. They could ruin your life. So from a medical point of view, very, very dangerous, especially for boys that aren't drunks. But I can also tell you how many people took their first cigarette on a Purim or took their first drink on a Purim, and then they see me on a regular basis because they have huge alcohol problems and they have huge smoking problems. So Purim is a terrible time to start a terrible habit. Purim is such a day of Kippurim, right? Yom Kippurim, right? Purim is a special day. Yom Kippur is compared to Yom Kippurim. So it's one of the holiest days. Gemara and Megillah says that we'll always observe Yom Kippur, we'll always observe Purim. Even after the other Yom Tov may not be there, Purim will always be there. Purim is a tremendously important. It says, "Kol HaPoshet Yad," you have to give them. So the Hasidim, the great Hasidic masters, they darshan that when you daven on Purim, you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look who's sticking out their hand. Right? You're not supposed to ask for the, show me your petek from the Rabbanut on Purim. Somebody comes to your door, you give them staka. Normally you can say, I'd like to see you. Who authorized you to collect? What are you collecting for? Who gave you, haskama? So that you're allowed to do, you're mechuyev to do the rest of the year, but not on Purim. So the great Hasidic Gedolim, they say that when you daven on Purim, you can say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't look at who's davening. I may not be worthy the rest of the year, but on Purim you're not allowed to ask. So kol HaPoshet Yad, I'm asking for this on Purim. If you're drunk all day Purim, you're wasting that unbelievable opportunity. And again, the Chilul Hashem, you can't imagine what a disgusting thing it is people is when they're drunk and how embarrassing they are, the things that they say. Had anybody ever seen a picture of a Gadol B'Yisrael drunk? Ever? Have any of you ever seen a Gadol B'Yisrael drunk? Has anybody seen Rav Moshe drunk, the Rav drunk, Rav Shechter drunk? Pick your Rebbe. Have you ever seen one Gadol drunk? I've never had anybody tell me, yeah. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, somebody just told me today, I heard a tape. Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you know what he does? He davens Vasikin. That's part. Dan Vasikin, he's holding the opinion you should have a Suda in the morning too. He has Suda, he has a drink of wine, a little bit more than his Shia, and goes back to sleep. L'chatchila, he's Makayim, and then he sits and learns probably the rest of the day on Purim. He's Mesameach with the Simchas Purim. That's the halacha. Again, look inside, Tafrei Tzadihei. See what the Shulchan Aruch says. I'm amazed, Nebuch, how many boys get drunk every year. They're vomiting all over the place. They're brought into the emergency room. Hatzolah, it's the worst day of the year for them. And if some of these boys are driving, that's just insane. A, you'll get your life ruined. If you don't kill somebody, you'll kill yourself. If they catch you driving like that, that's a huge blot on your record. You'll have a hard time getting a job, have a hard time getting into a good professional career. That's a huge blot on your record that will go with you for the rest of your life. I would tell a girl if she's going out on a shidduch date, the boy gets drunk, don't go near him. If you're smoking a cigarette, I tell the girl, don't go near the boy. It's a terrible, terrible habit. So I don't want to sound like I'm an old fogey. I want to tell you that I don't drink on Purim. I do drink on Purim. I drink exactly the way Shulchan Aruch says you do. I have 2 cups of wine during the Suda, and always have wine. And that's the right way to do it. There are great Gedolim that maybe can do more than that. They want to follow the Shitas that say Adelo Yada. How you interpret Adelo Yada is a lot of ways. If you can't do a gematria according to many, that's Ad Lo Yoda, or Raham and Baruch Mordechai, same gematria 502. That's according to many what it really means, that you can't tell the difference. If you can't do a quick gematria in your head, then you had enough to drink. But the Rambam says, as long as you fall asleep, that's Ad Lo Yoda. Many say Ad Lo Ad Bechlal. So Ad Lo Yoda doesn't mean the Lo Yoda, it means before that. Ad Lo Ad Bechlal. So there's a lot of different ways to darshan that. And again, the Rebbeinu Ephraim and the Rif say it doesn't mean that you're supposed to drink on Purim. So again, I don't want to sound like an old fogey. I don't want to sound like a Musa Shmuz, but I, as a doctor, I'm telling you medically, this is a sugya that you need to understand halachically and medically. And there are many, many great gedolim that said what I've just said now. I'm not telling you something that's not true. And maybe in the oven. You have to be very, very, very careful what you do on Purim. And to do something Motzei Shabbos, you have to show me any posting that says you should get drunk Motzei Shabbos, or that you're allowed to get drunk Motzei Shabbos this year. Then what's the possible hetter for that? And again, all the posting say it's during the Suda. And again, almost all the posting say it's wine. Some find the Limud Schus to say it could be whiskey, you know, some other intoxicating beverage. But the Suda is supposed to represent the Suda of Achashverosh, who's a Mishta Yayin. So, for all of those reasons, I hope you boys take what I'm saying seriously. It's a very important sugya, and I hope I don't see you in my emergency room. All right, Afreilich and Purim to everybody on that note.